Hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. Say to those who are panicking, be strong, do not fear. Here's your God. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. A highway will be there. It will be called the Holy Way. Welcome to today's service of worship. Whether you're here with us in person, joining us on Zoom, wherever it may be, we are glad to be together. If you are in person, we invite you to grab those pew pads and take a look at the information in those, fill those out. If you are new, looking to get more information about the church, let us know in there. Give us some information. We also have welcome bags out in the narthex. Make sure that you grab one of those if you haven't already gotten one. Today, we will be receiving 4 new members during the worship service, so that will be a joy coming as well. I want to make sure to be keeping an eye on the clocks in another week. Daylight savings time is coming. We get, you know, to fall back, lose an hour, all those fun changes that we get to look forward to. Today being the last Sunday of October, we join with all of those in the Reformed tradition, marking the occasion from back in 1517. When Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on that public bulletin board, possibly the door at the church at Wittenberg, Germany, and we celebrate Reformation Sunday. Some of the other reformers who protested against the ways of the Roman Church of the day include John Calvin, John Knox, Philip Melanchthon, Huldrych Zwingli, Jacob Arminius, Menno Simons, on and on. There are many different reformers. There have been many different reformations throughout the history of the church. As Presbyterians, we hold on to the fact, that solid anchor point, that we are reforming, or that we are reformed and always reforming according to Scripture. I got thinking about those 3 last words. I wanted to make sure to get those. Those are the most important. According to Scripture. That is where we turn, as we turn to the Word of God. That is our anchor point. Let us allow our hearts to be opened, to being illuminated by the Word of God as we gather together and prepare our hearts to worship.
Please stand if you are able and join me in the responsive call to worship. With our lips and with our hearts, we will bless God in every moment of our lives. With our ears and with our hearts, we will hear the cries of our sisters and brothers in every painful moment, in every broken place, with every gift and with our hearts. We will serve God and all of God's children with every moment of our lives. God, our healer, give us the courage of blind Bartimaeus to cry out to you when we are in need. Give us the wisdom of Job to know when we have overreached and our cause is lost. Give us the confidence of the psalmist to sing your praises and magnify your name. Grant us the wisdom, O God, to seek from you what is of real value, what will truly make us well, what will truly make us whole, what will truly give us bliss. Amen. Since Christ intercedes for us, he is able to save everyone who approaches God through him. Let us draw near to God through Christ, confessing our sins so that we may walk blameless in God's sight. Gracious God, we think that we want to be healed of our blindness, but actually we have become so comfortable in our darkness that we fear the light. It is as though we are living in a cave, and rather than risk facing the light, we prefer to face the dark wall. Give us courage to take risks which will result in not only our own transformation, but also the transformation opportunities for others. Let us take a few moments to offer our personal silent confessions. Lord, hear our prayers. Forgive our stubborn insistence on living in darkness. Take our hands and lead us to the light. Amen.
Through Christ, God forgives our failings and continues to call us into a community of mutual love and forgiveness. Hear then the good news that in and through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The peace of Christ be with you. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with others.
Amen. I love that song. You may be seated. Let us read responsively from Psalm 126. This is page 572 in the Pew Bible, page 767 in the Common English Bible. When the Lord changed Zion's circumstances for the better, it was like we had been dreaming. Our mouths were suddenly filled with laughter. Our tongues were filled with joyful shouts. It was even said at that time among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." Yes, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are overjoyed. Lord, change our circumstances for the better, like dry streams in the desert waste. Let those who plant with tears reap the harvest with joyful shouts. Let those who go out crying and carrying their seed come home with joyful shouts, carrying bales of grain.
Gospel reading prescribed to us today by the Revised Common Lectionary is from Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter, closing verses 46 to 52. Listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus and his followers came into Jericho. As Jesus was leaving Jericho, together with his disciples and a sizable crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, Timaeus' son, was sitting beside the road. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." Many scolded him, telling him to be quiet. But he shouted even louder, "Son of David, show me mercy." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him forward." They called the blind man, "Be encouraged, get up, he's calling you." Throwing his coat to the side, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Teacher, I want to see." Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." At once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus on the way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Did you hear the scripture that was just read, that gospel? Yeah. So there was a man who was blind, you're right. And who was he calling for help? He was calling for Jesus to help. And what did the other people say? They said, "Be quiet." Why do you think they said that? Maybe they thought, you know, Jesus is pretty important. At that point, Jesus is pretty important. You don't need to bother with him. Don't bother him, right? Yeah, don't bother him. And did Bartimaeus, did he stay quiet? No, what did he do? He said it again and again, and he shouted even louder. Those shouts that he shouted were like prayers that he shouted. He prayed. He was praying. He believed in Jesus, and he really wanted to see Jesus. He knew that Jesus could help him. And so he shouted even louder, even though people said to be quiet. Well, what happened? Did you listen to the story? What happened? Well, that's okay. How about we talk about what happened then? Yeah. So Jesus heard him and called for him to come. And when they got together, what did Jesus do? He healed him. He gave him the one thing that only he could do. Only God could do that. And Bartimaeus could see. This story kind of reminds me a little bit about sometimes we need help. Do you need help sometimes? When something's so heavy, when you're carrying it? Oh, your bag from trick-or-treating was so heavy. Oh, my goodness. That is a good problem to have, I guess. Even the handles broke, too, I bet. Oh my God. That is a wonderful problem to have, kind of, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes we have problems carrying things. Sometimes we have problems maybe tying our shoe or doing something else. And sometimes we have problems and we feel kind of, we have a sad heart. You've got those nice shoes. Sometimes we have troubles that are heavy on our hearts too. And what do we need to do? What did Bartimaeus do? He called out for help, right? And that's what we need to do. You need to call out for, you called out for help for mom. She helped you with the bag. Sometimes we call out for help. Who else can we ask for help? Who else can we ask for help? Spelling something. But who do we ask for help? Teachers and? Dads, Jesus, yeah. Those call outs for help are like prayers. And God puts all sorts of people in our lives to help us. Yeah, like dads. Dads are good helpers. Moms are good helpers. Grandmas and grandpas are good helpers. Teachers are good helpers. Even big brothers are helpers. Are you going to be a good helper? Yeah, you are. Yeah. So we have all of these helpers that God puts into our life. And sometimes we might hear the words, and it might even be in our own heads, well, that's not really a big problem. You can do it all by yourself. You don't need to ask God for help. That's not in our brain. That's good. That's not in our brain. Because we know that we can always come to God, that God cares for us and loves us and wants what's best for us. And sometimes, just like Bartimaeus had to ask more than once, he had to be pretty persistent. He asked again and again, because sometimes God has a different time than we have, right? So next time you're having troubles, I want you to make sure that you call out and ask for help. And remember that God is always there to help us. All right? Let's take a little time. Let's say a prayer. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for all of the people that you put into our lives that help us learn more about you and more about your love. And we thank you so much that you put those people in our lives to help us. I forgot on the screen. Are there people getting helped there? Yes, there are. We, loving God, we ask that you would help us to always make sure that we remember to ask you for help. We know that you are never too busy to help us. We know that you always are there to care and to love us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As a child, I probably, more than likely, sat through a worship service or two or more that had this text from Mark's gospel in it. I don't really remember any of those sermons. There's not a whole lot that I remember except, you know, falling asleep in the pew, or, you know, having my siblings and I poking around at each other, and all of a sudden the pew is shaking and getting a glare from mom and dad. But the sermon, I don't really remember those. The first time that I remember a message about this particular text was 36 years ago. It was at a Campus Crusade fall retreat that I went to. And it wasn't until this week, fun little side note here, that I realized, oh, 36 is divisible by 3. The Revised Common Lectionary goes through all the scriptures every 3 years. Chances are that speaker was either preaching on this text or had just heard a sermon about it, something along those lines. God's word is proclaimed, and every time that we read it, something new comes to us. But yet there are certain points that are anchors for us that don't change. There's two things that I remember from that message that weekend at that retreat. The first point is that the speaker called Bartimaeus Blind Bart. And that was the title of his sermon, was Blind Bart. It stands out to me because he made a point of telling us that names are important, and sometimes as we read scripture, we hear these outdated names that don't really roll off our tongues. There's probably not too many people you know of that are named Bartimaeus, but Bart, okay. Now, this is before The Simpsons came out, so. But he said, these are real people. If you struggle with their names, give them a modern name. They were real people, just like the people that you meet, the people that are around you. So Bart. The second thing is the possible meaning, the importance of Blind Bart's coat. Did you catch what the text said about Bart's coat? It says, throwing his coat to the side, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Now, for most of us, that probably just in one ear, out the other, okay, yeah, he threw his coat aside and went after Jesus. Who of us wouldn't do that? You know, it's no big deal. Most of us here have probably forgotten a coat at one point or another. If we've got kids, our kids have forgotten their coat someplace, and maybe then we weren't quite as, you know, oh well, about it. But tossing our coat to the side probably doesn't have the same meaning that it would have for Bartimaeus. What did that coat mean for Blind Bart? As a beggar, that coat was very important. It served many different roles. As he sat there, it protected him from the rain, from the sun, from the elements. He could use it as a cushion to sit on as he sat in that same spot all day. If he wanted to take a nap, he could roll it up and use it as a pillow. On and on. There are so many uses of that coat. He wouldn't want to lose track of it. And being that he was blind, it would be easy for him to misplace it or him to set it down to the side. He would probably never have sat it off to the side out of touch because someone else could have easily taken it from him. Think of large cities, New York, San Francisco, Chicago. If there is a blind beggar, what they have is important. And if they were to toss something to the side, what are the chances that there would be a nice citizen there who would hold on to Bart's coat for him as he got up and went to talk to Jesus? And if he didn't regain his sight, came back and said, hey, does anybody know where my coat is? Oh, it's right here. I was holding on to it for you. Probably not. They would have taken it and run off with it. Throwing his coat to the side, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And what did Jesus say? Your faith has healed you. I remember the closing point that speaker made at that fall retreat. He asked us college students a question. What in your life is as valuable as that coat was to Blind Bart? What do you put that much value in that you aren't willing to just toss it aside? And yet, Jesus is passing by. Jesus is calling out to you. There are things in your life that you want to be healed from. Are you willing to toss aside what you perceive to be most important, trusting in faith that Jesus is going to provide for your every need and offer you a better replacement for whatever it is that currently serves as your security, your protection? For 36 years, that message has stuck. It's a powerful truth that we can all apply to our lives, and we need to revisit that on a regular basis, reevaluate our lives. Maybe God is calling you to toss something aside. Maybe the Spirit's been at work stirring you, saying, I really don't want to give this up. Maybe it's something good, maybe it's something that's harmful. But God's calling you to trust and to just toss it aside and to trust that God's going to give you something better. When blind Bart came up to Jesus, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" This is the same question that Jesus asked in the previous chapter to James and John. This is in last week's scripture reading. It's the same question, but we have two very different answers. Jesus' disciples, who had been with him the past 3 years, James and John, when they were asked by Jesus, "What do you want me to do for you? Allow us to sit on your right and your left when you come into your glory." What does blind Bart say? "Teacher, I want to see." And Jesus' question, it was in response to two very different questions to him. James and John said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." How arrogant. What does blind Bart say? "Son of David, show me mercy." How humble and how powerful. See, until this point in Mark's gospel, Jesus has not been officially named as the Messiah. And here, this blind beggar, an outcast who has no real place in society, names him as the Son of David, that messianic title. "Son of David, show me mercy. Give us whatever we ask. Have compassion on me." On top of all these differences, the placement of this miracle is the last one before Jesus enters Jerusalem to be executed. And the fact that Jesus tells blind Bart, "Go. You're healed." He doesn't leave. He follows Jesus on the way. Those are important words in Mark's gospel. Everything about Mark's gospel is on the way. It's about journeying together toward the cross. The way in which Bartimaeus is named is also an interesting fact. There's so much depth in this message. When we take a look at Bartimaeus, Timaeus' son, doesn't seem to stand out too much to us, but this is the only place in Mark's gospel where the person who's healed is actually given a name. The rest are titles, they're descriptions, but not a name. And we have to remember that Mark's gospel was written in the Greek language, and there are a few places throughout Mark's gospel where he lists something in quotes, as Jesus would have said it in his Aramaic tongue that he talked in, but yet it was written in Greek. Now, this would be similar to if someone were writing a story about their childhood and their German grandmother would say, "Schlaf gut," sleep good. It would have the original language and then the modern translation explaining what it is. Bartimaeus, Timaeus' son. Bar in Hebrew and Aramaic means son. So Bartimaeus is Timaeus' son. Why does he repeat that? Timaeus. Not quite sure who Timaeus is. There's two different ways of interpreting that. From the Greeks, it would be honored one, would be the meaning of Timaeus. But for the Aramaic and Hebrew, it would be the unclean. So it's interesting that the son of Timaeus is the son of the honored one to the Greeks, or the son of the unclean one to the Jews. The Jews who are about to betray Jesus, and the Greeks who are about to be welcomed into God's chosen family. Bartimaeus. There's power in a name. Another question that we're given here in the midst of this text to wrestle with is about those many who initially rebuke blind Bart for crying out to Jesus. Why do they do that? Are they honestly seeking to preserve Jesus' honor and they don't want Jesus to be disturbed? Are they trying to control access to Jesus like the disciples did back in chapter 9? Casting out demons. Oh, they were trying to cast out demons, but we wouldn't. No, don't let them. Don't stop them. Maybe these people were embarrassed about blind Bart's low status in society. But it makes us think, what are the ways in which we are like those people in the crowd that stop the blind Barts of our day and age? What are the ways that the church in general function with good intentions without realizing the harm that we're doing? Are we the ones who sit along the sidelines of life, trying to protect Jesus and keeping those from him who truly should be there, when we're claiming to welcome everyone? Maybe that is our coat that we need to cast aside. Our perceived prejudices. Maybe that sense of control, that desire to protect our faith as we celebrate Reformation Sunday. What are new reforms that we need to go through? How do we need to trust truly in God and not in human wisdom? To lead us and to give us that spiritual insight that we truly need. Jesus sees you and I. Jesus calls out to us, calls us by name, and calls us to come near to him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" May we be like Bart. Be like Bart. Toss it all aside. Allow your faith in the resurrected Jesus to move you. Don't worry about what gives you comfort and security, and trust that God is going to provide. Come before Jesus, cry out for mercy. Be like Bart and let Jesus open the eyes of your heart to see what that world of sacrificial love is really like. To see the grace and mercy that's offered to us through the cross. Be like Bart in whatever way that the Spirit is leading. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Just as Jesus told Bart, "You're healed, go." And Bartimaeus decided to follow Jesus, to become a disciple. Today we welcome four new members to become part of our family of faith here, I invite Dave Erickson, as clerk of session, to come forward and to introduce our four new members.
I present the following list of individuals who, by action of your session, have been received into the membership of this congregation: Richard Buchholz, Trista Buchholz, Evan Stark, and Jessica Stark.
If you will please come forward, we receive you into, welcome you into membership here. The session has already officially received you. By our constitution, we have questions of membership. We have everyone publicly profess their faith in front of the congregation. So we welcome you here today. You come to us as members of the one holy Catholic Church into which you were baptized, by which you've been nurtured. We are one with each other, sisters and brothers in the family of God. We rejoice in the ministry that you bring to us. As you join with us in the worship and mission of this household of ministry, it is fitting that together we reaffirm the covenant into which we were baptized, claiming again the promises of God, which are ours in our baptism. Hear these words of Holy Scripture. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are God's own passion. You have become this people so that you may speak of the wonderful acts of the one who called you out of darkness into his amazing light. I invite you to face the cross as you are making these covenants to Jesus. Questions for membership. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior? Do you? Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love and compassion? Will you? In the power of the Holy Spirit, will you participate actively and responsibly in the worship and mission of Christ's church through your prayers, your gifts, your study, and your service? Will you? I invite us all to stand as we affirm the faith of our baptism. It's written in the Apostles' Creed. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let me turn around. You may be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people, all ministers one to another, for mysteriously transforming us into the gathered body of Christ, the Church Universal. We thank you for choosing to add to our number sisters and brothers to share in faithful ministry in this time and place, giving testimony to new life rising from our death experiences. Holy Spirit, move us deeper into forms of relationship and communion so that our ministries of love for one another may be tangible means of experiencing the presence and personhood of the risen and living Christ. All honor and glory we give to you, our triune God, both now and forevermore. Amen. Rick and Trista are coming to us, transferring membership from Nina, along with their two sons. So here are your certificates of membership, cookbook from the church, and a couple of lanyards. So welcome to the church. Evan, you may remember, he's preached here a few times, filled the pulpit during the interim. So thank you for doing that and for me as well. And Evan and Jessica are joining us by reaffirmation of faith. Evan's been a deacon, ordained deacon previously in the church. Jessica, have you been ordained? And Rick and Trista, have you been ordained? You were an elder. So once an elder, once a deacon, always an elder, always a deacon. Welcome. Glad to have you serving here with us. Let us turn to God in time of prayer for one another and for God's kingdom. Gracious God, as we gather here today, we gather together with our eyes being opened more and more. Continue to allow us to see the ways in which you are at work in our lives, to see your presence happening in the neighborhoods around us. Lord, there are so many times that we pray for your light to illuminate our path. We ask for your guidance, your wisdom. Lord, many times we think we know what the answer should be and what we want. Lord, there are those times when what we believe is your will, is in fact your will, and the timing is just so. And yet other times we need to wait. And other times your answers are not the answers that we think they should be. Lord, we give you thanks that no matter what we ask of your healing, whatever problems and troubles that we are going through, that anything that you allow us to encounter, it is your will that that would be used for your good. Lord, we give you thanks for those times that we can look back in our lives and know that your will was different and that you had a plan in the midst of all of the pain and sorrow that we went through. May that give us strength to trust in you in those other times when we do not yet know and we may not know this side of being in your presence for all eternity. Lord, allow us to learn what it means to truly trust in you. Allow us to see all that you have entrusted to us as just that, yours, entrusted to us for this time. Allow us to loosen our grip on all that we hold dear. Allow us to see those ways in which you are calling us to further your kingdom, to use what you have entrusted to us, to be a blessing to others, to be able to proclaim your good news. Lord, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of upcoming elections, Lord, allow us to not view our differences so closely. Remind us that you are God and that you are truly the one that is in control of our kingdom. Lord, help us to make wise decisions, but remind us that we are not in control. Lord, continue to draw us together. Continue to strengthen our relationships with one another, especially amidst our differences. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts that we might see those who we perceive as outsiders, as those who are against you. May we see them in your eyes. May we show them your love. May we learn more and more what you mean when you command us to love our enemies. Lord, allow us to not block the way to you, but in allowing all to come into your presence, that we might see you more fully, and that we might be transformed, that together we might become more and more the people you long for us to be, focused on you, giving thanks and praise in all that we do. Continue to reform us, Lord, even as we celebrate the many reformations that have taken place in your church. All this we pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We respond to God's word by offering back a portion of that which God has entrusted to us, even offering our very selves. As the ushers come forward to collect God's tithes and our offerings, may we place ourselves at the foot of the cross to further God's kingdom. Almighty God, we give you thanks for all that you have entrusted to us. May you use our gifts, our talents, all that we have. May you use it to further your kingdom and to be able to allow others to see your kingdom in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Reminder, this afternoon we do have deacon training, and then we will be having our first practice for the Christmas cantata, and next Sunday we'll be back here gathered together to worship. Until then, may you go out into the world seeing Jesus, hearing Jesus call to you, casting aside all that which you claim as security, trusting more and more in Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.